Welcome, friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson, your host, with you. I'm a homeschool father of five, and we raise our kids out here on the eastern plains of Colorado. Bill Jack from Worldview Academy also in studio with me today as we bring a biblical perspective to all areas of life, and so important, especially as our society itself has become almost entirely secularized in that it refuses to use the Word of God as a standard. And the wrong perspective seems to dominate in our culture today. So this is increasingly important for Christians to say, what does the Bible say about that? And that is the most basic question that somebody with a biblical worldview will present. They'll just simply ask the question, what does the Bible say about that? What does God say about that? I want to know God's perspective first and foremost. We're going to get to that towards the end of this program, but we're going to talk about wholesome entertainment. I know many families are always looking for wholesome entertainment.
And one of the things that people used to do as families was go to the circus. The circus would to town every year. As a kid, I remember walking to the outskirts of the town in which I was raised to attend the circus. I remember when I brought my family here to Colorado, one of our highlights of the year was attending the Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Circus downtown Denver at the Coliseum.
Well, they're not going to do that anymore.
No, because it performed its last performance in May of 2017.
That's right.
It's shut down. 146 years of tradition and Americana is now gone.
Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Circus closed last year, first time. In 146 years, that is an Americana tradition.
It is.
And we're going to talk about the roots of it because, friends, the roots of entertainment in America really wanted to commit itself to family entertainment. Very interesting as we read the story of P.T. Barnum, Benjamin Franklin Keith, Hacklaw, Bailey, and all the others. You're going to find the history of American entertainment begins with family-friendly stuff. They certainly wanted a family-friendly approach, and all of that changed in the early part of the 1900s, and we'll get to that in just a moment. But you know what began with Hacklock Bailey back in 1806?
That's easy for you to say, Mr. Bailey.
I'm sorry, it's Hackaliah Bailey. Yes, Hackaliah Bailey from 1806. He would come to town with a trained dog, several pigs, a horse, and four wagons in 1806. That was the beginning of the circus. That was the beginning of family entertainment in America. Very interesting. Hacklaw Bailey added an elephant in 1808,
When you said he came to town with pigs, I figured he was a traveling butcher.
No. He had these trained pigs, trained dog, a horse, and four wagons. And Hacklaw added an elephant, elephant named Old Bet.
First elephant brought to the United States.
First elephant in the United States came in 1808, thanks to Hacklaw Bailey, and he formed the Bailey Circus in the early 1800s. And he actually was Hacklaw Bailey was a mentor for P.T. Barnum.
Yes, and P.T. Barnum is really interesting because there is a movie out now called The Greatest Showman.
Yes,
and it's based on P.T. Barnum's life. Now, whether the movie is true to history or not, I'm not quite sure. However, it is a fascinating movie. I went to see that. You know, over the holidays, families usually get together, and part of their entertainment occasionally is to go to a movie together.
And you went to see The Greatest Showman.
I did. And I was thoroughly delighted. Uh-huh. It was recommended by both my sisters, by my wife's sister and her family. They went to see it, and they called and said, you've got to see this movie. So I was a little bit skeptical because I tend to look for worldviews in movies and not so much the fun aspect, the entertainment aspect. But I must tell you, I was pleasantly surprised by the worldview, the family-friendly, family-focused worldview of this movie and the view that people are valuable as individuals. You know, we think of P.T. Barnum as this hoaxer who would take what were then called freaks, put them on display, and sell admission. The Bearded Lady. Tom Thumb, you know, the shortest man in the world. Mm-hmm. And he would exploit them. That's the way that most secular history looks at these people. And yet, in the story, these are people who are redeemed.
they're able to present themselves as human beings.
As human beings. Mm-hmm. And that is the theme that runs throughout the story, that, yes, he used these people to make money, but he also gave them and provided them a living, a way to make a living. And he valued family. He did this so he could support his family. In one scene, he meets the very famous Jenny Lind, the Swedish opera singer, Nightingale.
Who traveled with him across the country, and they put on hundreds of concerts.
150 concerts. He promised her, I think it was $1,000 a performance at that time. And he did make $500,000 on that. Mm-hmm. But in the movie, there's this romantic aspect, and you're thinking, oh no, they're going to become romantically linked. He's going to leave his wife and his family. Mm-hmm. And you're sitting there going, oh, I hope it doesn't turn that way. And in one scene, she leans in to kiss him and he says, no, I must go home. Mm-hmm. I must go back to my family.
That's a critical scene.
It's a critical scene. And she says, well, I'm going to quit the tour. Mm-hmm. Well, this isn't historical, but in the movie, she says, I'm quitting the tour. He says, if you do, I'll be bankrupt. She says, well, it has a cost, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. And he sticks with it, mm-hmm, and goes to his family, loses everything, and starts all over again. Mm-hmm. And it's that in itself is rare in a film. Mm-hmm. He doesn't give in to temptation.
Yeah.
And he affirms his commitment to his wife and his family. And the last scene in the movie goes back to that same commitment to family. This is what it's all about, is the theme of the movie. And I am very encouraged by this movie. And critics have not been kind to it. And yet, I think people ought to support this movie. I think it has a great worldview about it.
Well,
now, there are some scenes. It's not for children altogether, but it's for mature audiences.
Well, P.T. Barnum himself said that all humans' souls, God had created them. He said Christ had died for them. And these souls are not to be trifled with. Those are his words. It may tenant the body of a Chinaman, a Turk, an Arab, or a Hottentot. That's a word for African. But he says it's still an immortal soul. And that's how he dealt with the issue of slavery. He believed that every human soul was created in the image of God, and he said Christ died for, but the souls are not to be trifled with. Every soul is a value. It's an immortal soul. And so, you know, this is the kind of guy he was. He was pro-family. There's no question this guy was pro-family. And the early entertainment in America, including that created by Benjamin Franklin Keith, who was the father of American vaudeville, believed that every single museum, every single play had to be acceptable for women and children. That was key for these guys.
And one of the key quotes by Barnum is featured at the end of the film. He said, the noblest art is that of making others happy.
All right, we're going to talk about American vaudeville, American circuses, American zoos. How did they get started? And can Christians go to the zoo? Should you take your family to a circus? We're going to answer those questions next on the Generations Broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson. Folks, under Obamacare, the average family health care premiums now have exceeded $18,000, and more premium increases averaging 25% are expected for next year in 39 states. And remember, over 1,000 Obamacare plans cover abortion, and that's most of them. 5 states offer no abortion-free plans at all. And you know that all Obamacare plans contain the contraceptive abort-efficient mandate. So what do Christians do? Well, I'll tell you what we have done. My family has gone with the Samaritan Medical Sharing Ministry since 1999. Over 17 years, we have shared our medical needs with brothers and sisters in Christ, and they have shared theirs with us. And the cost? Well, it's about one-third of what the average family pays under Obamacare. And Samaritan Ministries does not support the killing of unborn children. Our family has saved over $200,000 in insurance premiums over the last 17 years, and we have helped literally hundreds of Christian brothers and sisters with their medical needs. We write checks every month to different families who have needs to cover. How cool is that? On top of all of that, we can support the lives of unborn children while the powerful systems in Washington are doing just the opposite. I want to encourage you to check out Samaritan Ministries as an option for your family. Imagine healthcare sharing in a Christian way.
Protecting Life as Christians Do at One-Third the Cost. Just check it out at SamaritanMinistries.org and mention Kevin Swanson when you sign up, and we'll send you a free copy of my new book, Family Life. That's SamaritanMinistries.org. We are back on the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson here as we consider the history of entertainment in America. I know that some of you avail yourselves to entertainment. You avail yourself to movies. Sometimes you avail yourself to the zoo or to the circus. Is this appropriate for Christians? Well, the history of zoos, the history of circus in America, which effectively was the traveling zoo at the beginning, indicates that these men who traveled the country wanted to provide something to families across America, wanted to keep it family-friendly. That includes P.T. Barnum and Benjamin Franklin Keith, who's known as the father of American vaudeville. In fact, from the outset, he wanted his museums and plays to be acceptable to women and children. He censored performers that gave way to indecent language. So if they brought any indecent language, he would censor them or fire them. That was important to Benjamin Franklin Keith, who was the father of American vaudeville. P.T. Barnum also had a lot of common grace, and I think that's the way to look at this, is that these guys came out of a country that had the fear of God and a respect for Jesus. In fact, we already mentioned that in a quote I took directly from P.T. Barnum.
Yeah, he also said this, the best kind of charity is to help those who are willing to help themselves. Now, that sounds pretty firm on biblical economy, does it not?
It sounds like biblical charity. Yeah,
you don't
just put somebody on the dole. That right. That was essential, at least in Old Testament law.
He also said young men starting in life should avoid running into debt.
Yeah, there's some wisdom.
That's some wisdom right there.
Yeah.
Now, so what is this about P.T. Barnum that we are spending a program on? It's about the issue of entertainment. And should Christians be entertained? Now, I think there's a difference between entertainment and what I call amusement, okay? There's a difference between fun and joy, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
Fun is self-centered, mm-hmm. okay? Amusement is self-centered. And amusement comes from the Latin muse, meaning to think, and awe, meaning not to think.
Not to think.
Yeah. So should a Christian ever not think? And the answer is, of course not.
The Christian should
fill his mind with the Word of God. The Christian should meditate on the Word of God. A Christian should always be thinking. Now, does that preclude a Christian from being entertained? I don't think so. As I pointed out, I went to this movie, and I thought my way through the movie rather than feeling my way through the movie, rather than just merely responding emotionally. I was thinking about it, because if I just felt my way through the movie, then I'd say, yeah, La La Land was a great movie.
Yeah.
It's a musical. It was entertaining.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
But thinking my way through it, I'm going, no, I cannot recommend La La Land. The musical, however, The Greatest Showman, I was entertained by it. I was thinking my way through it as well as being entertained by it.
The Christian never leaves his brain in the parking lot of the theater. That's what we're saying from our friends. I know the temptation with the visual medium and music and heavily emotionalized, romanticized music and scripts and visual effects will encourage you to walk into a spell and abandon all thinking. So you wind up in a romantic worldview where the feeling is all that matters. But as Christians, that's the wrong worldview. We sing with the heart and with the mind, both. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 14.
But isn't it interesting that we are enamored by P.T. Barnum and his circus and by the circus acts and by the unusual and the odd, simply because, well, they draw us. And speaking of oddities, I'm reminded of Mike the Headless Chicken. Mike the Headless Chicken was a great, great illustration of this.
And people would pay 25 cents to see Mike the Headless Chicken for 2 years, from 1946 to 1948.
Yeah, 45 to 47.
Died.
Yeah.
And Mike had no head. I mean,
no.
He had, I think, a little piece of a cord. Of his.
Well, what happened is in Fruta, Colorado, okay, just across the Rockies from here, Lloyd Olson went out to get his supper. And so he took the axe and found the chicken and whacked away. And what he did is he cut just right so that the jugular vein wasn't cut.
Yeah.
But Mike, the chicken, lost his head.
Yeah.
And so he started touring with Mike, the headless chicken, mm-hmm. and he charged 25 cents. The owner, Olson, earned $4,500 a month.
Which at that time was more like
49,000, 50,000.
50 grand a month, yeah.
Yeah.
And people paid 25 cents to see this.
So, would you go see Mike the Headless Chicken?
Well, I might pay $5.
Okay.
Yeah, I might pay $5 to see Mike.
Yeah.
Yeah. What,
now, why? Because it's an oddity.
It's
a curiosity.
But it's also an aspect of God's creation.
Yes.
I think there's two aspects to it. There's a reason why we bring dogs into the house. We bring our huskies and we bring our beagle into the house.
Yeah, well,
they're restricted to the kitchen area where it's, you know, it's mainly wood. But I enjoy their antics. I enjoy watching what God has created in these. Now, I think there's a combination between enjoying it and giving God the glory for it, because God is the source. God's the creator. God is creative. These oddities present a variety. That's the point. A lot of times these things were called variety shows because they presented God's creation in its varieties. And again, not to mock at it, not to make fun of it, but just to be impressed by the variety that God has created.
And in fact, that's what happened in the show, in The Greatest Showman. He approaches Tom Thumb and says, join my museum. And he says, so I can be laughed at? He said, no. So that people will look at you and cheer and laugh with you. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly the point. He recognized that people have value as individuals.
Mm-hmm.
They should not be abused. They should be praised, and they should be looked at as valuable
they've created. They should be appreciated for the gifts that they have.
Yes, even if they're unusual gifts, like Mike the Headless Chicken. I mean, why did God create the chicken? For his glory and our pleasure.
Yeah.
Right.
And that a chicken would continue to walk around with with almost no brain whatsoever.
Well,
and yet,
a lot of politicians do.
Well,
that.
I agree. Agreed.
They're entertaining, though.
The fact that these animals can do amazing. The pigs that play the xylophone. I saw one of the Barnum Bailey acts had the pigs playing the xylophone. I'd pay a couple bucks to see the pigs playing the xylophone. That's interesting. That shows you that God has created the pigs with something of an ability to play this, to be trained to play a xylophone. That's interesting. And I think we enjoy it. It's all right to enjoy an aspect of God's creation as long as we're turning around also and glorifying him. I don't like any separation between the enjoying of God, enjoying his works, and praising him and glorying in his works. And I think those two aspects are so essential in every form of entertainment. Now, as it turns out, in the history of entertainment, things went downhill pretty quickly after P.T. Barnum died and Benjamin Franklin Keith died in 1916. It was so important that the performers would not give way to indecent language and indecent dress. However, the vaudeville performers and promoters discovered that the female body, highlighted with tight-fitting clothes and low-cut gowns, would bring in the dollars. And so vaudeville began to gain a reputation of being not what it was at the beginning. But you see this happening with entertainment again and again. You see it with happen with the movie industry, with the music industry, with the vaudeville. It tended to go downhill. And you look at somebody like Mae West, who was a big entertainer in the 19 teens. She produced several shows for Broadway in 1926 that handled sexual sin and even homosexuality lightly. And she was imprisoned, by the way. She was put in jail for 10 days, but only after 300,000 people attended her plays that dealt with sexual sin. So again, friends, think about how quickly this happened. Within about 30 years of the development of vaudeville in America, Mae West is in jail for 10 days, but hundreds of thousands of people are going, ooh, ooh, ooh. Look at what Mae West is doing. Look how edgy the entertainment industry is getting by the time you get to the roaring 20s.
Again, it was out of curiosity, but it was not turning around and glorifying God.
That's right. And that, I believe, is the point at which they walked over the edge. Same thing happened to the music industry in the 1890s. It was John Philip Sousa. Very first recordings are John Philip Sousa's band and Arthur Collins, who is singing old folk standards like the Old Gray Mare.
She Ain't What She Used to Be.
Ooh, that was racy.
Or Waiting for the Robert E. Lee.
Ooh, okay? I don't know.
These were the songs on the first records in the 1890s. It wasn't long, however, before Irving Kaufman is recording a song that celebrated transgenderism in 1926.
Wait, you got the date wrong on that.
No, not 1962. Meant, 1926. It's not my dyslexia. This is indeed 1926 when Irving Kaufman recorded a song by the name of Masculine Women and Feminine Men. Oh, yeah, transgenderism goes back to the 1920s. Yeah, I'm guessing it goes back a little further. You know, people have been doing weird things for thousands of years. When we say weird things, we're talking about breaking God's laws,
right,
walking over those boundaries, and not distinguishing between good and evil, right and wrong, by the laws of God. And when we cease to do that, friends, that's when entertainment goes downhill. Ben Selvin and his orchestra celebrated the sin of adultery for the first time in 1929. It was called My Sin. My sin was loving you, not wisely, but too well. Your sin was letting me and getting me into your spell. Our sin was following our love that could not be, and so forth. It's the first adultery song in America. Came in 1926. The first country song came with Leroy Van Dyke, Walk On By, which was on the country charts, number one on the country charts for 26 weeks. Nobody broke that record till 2016. So Walk On By was recorded, I believe, in 1961, if I'm not mistaken. So first adultery song in the country music genre, 1961. First adultery song in the popular genre, 1929. Ben Selvin and his orchestra.
That's the Roaring Twenties.
It was the Roaring Twenties. Of course, God brought his judgment upon the nation, the 1930s, 1940s, and then the rest is history. But as we conclude the program here, you know, what we're looking for is moral entertainment. That's first and foremost. It conforms to God's laws, which means that whatever's going on in the crazy vaudeville programs, whatever's going on with the Mae West presentations on sexual sin in the 1920s, is not appropriate for Christians. We can't walk into theaters and agree with people who are saying adultery's cool or fornication's okay. It's just a whole lot of fun. See, I think that's the most basic thing. But as you said, Bill, it's so important that we do everything for the glory of God. We're enjoying God.
Yeah,
we're doing it for the glory of God.
And joy comes from – joy is not the goal, okay? The world says fun is the standard. Fun is the goal that you should achieve. But for the Christian, it is joy, not fun. Joy is the word that's used in Scripture. But joy is not the goal. It is a byproduct of obedience to Christ.
And we need to ask ourselves what entertainment's doing to our thinking, especially if we're doing too much entertainment. This is the big question. Are you doing entertainment for the right reasons? And as Paul says in Philippians 4:8, finally, brothers, whatsoever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there be any excellence, there be anything worthy of praise, think on these things. That is, if it's excellent, if it's producing something good in us, if we look at the last 30 hours of entertainment that we enjoyed, whether it be a fictional novel or a movie or going to the zoo, did it produce in us something excellent? And did we end it in praise and worship? Did it help us in our praise and worship on a Sunday morning or in family worship that evening? If it yielded praise and excellence and edification and the building up of ourselves in our spiritual lives, or the preparation of us for our economic well-being, if it had some excellence to it, if it produced praise and worship, then these are the things upon which our minds should feed. These are the things upon which our minds should meditate. So those are the tests to our entertainment. If it's a true story, is it a reflection of the whole story? Okay, you told the story of David and Bathsheba, but did Nathan the prophet show up and say, "Thou art the man"? And did we see the consequences of that sin in David's life? Or was it one gratuitous scene?
Did we revel in the sin?
That's right.
Did we grieve at the sin.
That's right. Where did we go with it? So if it's a reflection of a true story, then yes, you can tell the story of sin, but where does it go? Does it end with Nathan the prophet? Is there a vindication of the truths of God's word? Is there any sense of God's sovereign power, his judgment, and his redemption working through the story? Same thing, by the way, for fictional stories. Is there a metaphor for redemption that leads to praise? Or is God blocked from the metaphysic entirely? Sometimes the bad guy gets it, but is that enough for us? Is it enough to glorify the state where the police get the bad guy, but is the whole idea to glorify the state? Or are we to give God the glory that judgment is meted out? Or redemption, salvation, repentance comes to the evildoer? See, again, friends, these are the questions to be asking about the entertainment that we are feeding upon. Well, if you'd like more on this, there's so much more to be said on the issue of entertainment. And it's so important because our society is entertained to death. Our society is amused to the point of insanity. Our society is amused to the point where we are not edified and God is not glorified by so much of the entertainment that people do. So if you'd like a little more on discerning entertainment, I'd encourage you to our book, The Tattooed Jesus: What the Real Jesus Would Do with Pop Culture. And certainly now is the time to be asking these questions and to be gaining answers, biblical answers, for the kinds of entertainment and cultural systems that we are inculcating, our children are inculcating as well. Get a copy of The Tattooed Jesus at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. Again, the book is The Tattooed Jesus, available at our website, generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.
If you want the right worldview for your news, you'll want the right worldview for your children's education. That's why we've produced the Worldviews in Conflict curriculum for your teens. It's a curriculum that will equip them to engage the war of the worlds. Check it out at theworldview.com/curriculum. That's theworldview.com/curriculum. It's Wednesday, January 10th, AD 2018. This is The Worldview in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. Oprah Winfrey accepted a Lifetime Achievement Award Sunday night at the Golden Globes in Beverly Hills, California. She became the first black woman to receive the Cecil B. DeMille Award. Oprah addressed the need for women to speak truth to power in terms of the inappropriate behavior and sexual assault which they have endured at the hands of powerful men.
So I want tonight to express gratitude to all the women who have endured years of abuse and assault because they, like my mother, had children to feed and bills to pay and dreams to pursue. For too long, women have not been heard or believed if they dared to speak their truth to the power of those men. But their time is up. Their time is up. I've interviewed and portrayed people who've withstood some of the ugliest things life can throw at you. But the one quality all of them seem to share is an ability to maintain hope for a brighter morning, even during our darkest nights. So I want all the girls watching here and now to know that a new day is on the horizon. And when that new day finally dawns, it will be because of a lot of magnificent women, many of whom are right here in this room tonight, and some pretty phenomenal men fighting hard to make sure that they become the leaders who take us to the time when nobody ever has to say, "Me too," again. Thank you.
Oprah's speech was so well received, many have suggested that she should run for president in 2020. Two related stories. First, a 36-year-old Idaho Republican state lawmaker who was under investigation for possible sexual abuse died in an apparent suicide, reports the Idaho Spokesman Review. Records obtained by the Associated Press also show that Brandon Hickson was previously the focus of a separate police investigation in 2014 after he had been accused of inappropriate touching. Hickson, who had been elected to the Idaho legislature in 2012, was found dead of a self-inflicted gunshot wound to the head in his Caldwell home yesterday morning. Hickson is survived by his four children, aged 6 to 17. And second, a canceled book deal is the latest repercussion for Memphis pastor Andy Savage as the ripples continue to spread from his admitted sexual encounter with a 17-year-old high school senior in Texas 20 years ago. The victim, Jules Woodson, says, meanwhile, that she is quote-unquote disgusted by Savage's public apology and does not agree that the matter was dealt with at the time, as Savage suggested. Woodson has come forward with her story in the vein of others in the Me Too movement. Bethany House, a Christian publisher, announced Monday afternoon that it is canceling the scheduled July publication of Savage's book, The Ridiculously Good Marriage. Savage said, quote, I accepted full responsibility for my actions. I was and remain very remorseful for the incident and deeply regret the pain I caused her and her family, as well as the pain I caused the church and God's kingdom, end quote. The cancellation of Savage's book came on the heels of the Austin Stone Community Church announcing it was placing on leave Pastor Larry Cotton, who had been on staff with Savage at a Houston, Texas suburban church in the late 1990s when the sexual assault occurred. Hopefully, Savage and Cotton echo the words of King David, who cried out to God about his sin in Psalm 51, 1-2. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions, wash away all my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. Art Rohrheim, the co-founder of the scripture memory-based children's ministry called Awana, died last Friday, reports Christian Headlines. Now reaching 4 million children in 100 countries, Awana stands for Approved Workmen Are Not Ashamed, which was inspired from 2 Timothy 2:25, which says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Rohrheim's heart's desire was to evangelize children when they were young and equip them with the knowledge to become leaders in the faith. At least 13 people have died in weather-related incidents in Santa Barbara County, California, authorities said yesterday, as the first major winter storm triggered flooding and mud flows that forced the closure of the 101 freeway in the Thomas Fire Burn area, reports ABC 13. Powerful mudslides destroyed homes in the area as rescue crews rushed to search the rubble. The mud was reported to be 5 feet deep in places. Santa Barbara County Sheriff Bill Brown said, quote, it looked like a World War I battlefield. It was literally a carpet of mud and debris everywhere, with huge boulders, rocks, downed trees, power lines, wrecked cars, lots of obstacles, end quote. This past Christmas, Chinese communists cracked down on celebrations of the birth of Christ. Stay tuned for a Worldview special report immediately following today's newscast. And finally, a restaurant owner in Tokyo offers free meals to customers who cannot afford to pay, but there's a catch. You have to work for it. Customers have the option of paying for food or earning a free meal by working for 50 minutes. Serving food and cleaning dishes, reports SunnySkies.com. 33-year-old Sekai Kobayashi runs a 12-seat restaurant all by herself without any other staff. So far, she says more than 500 people have opted to work for their meals. And that's the World View in 5 minutes. On this Wednesday, January 10th in the year of our Lord, 2018. Subscribe by iTunes or email to our unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ. Time now for a Worldview special report by Emily Swanson. Chinese Christians in the Xinjiang province were under heavy crackdown on Christmas Eve after they were turned in by their neighbors for having a Christmas Eve celebration. One was questioned for 10 hours. The Worldview spoke to Gina Go of International Christian Concern about the Chinese government cracking down all over China on Christmas as a, quote, Western ideology, end quote.
It's very noteworthy that this past Christmas, Chinese government did kind of have this notice going out to school saying that you should not celebrate Christmas because it's, you know, Western ideology is trying to infiltrate our country. It's Western religion. Especially for party schools, it's banned.
Go said that most Christians in China were able to celebrate Christmas without incident, but there were a few recorded cases of opposition.
Most Christians, they had Christmas without accident, but there have been several cases. Either like they were banned from having it, or it was interrupted by police because they say, oh, you are meeting at a place that's not sanctioned, or it's a not registered venue, you are not allowed to have it here.
She said that in this particular case, the pastor had been arrested before.
This case here, Pastor Lou Yuanqi, he actually is a pastor for a house church, and he has been arrested before. If you are arrested before, then obviously the government is going to keep close watch, and so there would be people they place around you to watch you.
Pray that these brothers and sisters would not grow weary of worshiping God like Daniel did, even when he had been forbidden to pray, that they would continue to celebrate Jesus without fear of what man can do to them. This has been a Worldview Special Report. I'm Adam McManus. What kind of worldview do your children get? The vast majority of teens from Christian families are abandoning a biblical worldview, according to the Barna Group. Sadly, many parents do not realize that the curriculum they have chosen for their children actually conveys the wrong worldview of history, science, life's purpose, and truth. Pass on the faith to your children with a distinctively Christian education. Check out our Christian discipleship curriculum at theworldview.com/curriculum. That's theworldview.com/curriculum.